Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also heard on the Rapture Ready Radio Network, which is also on Blog Talk Radio. And we have a website, propheticnews.com. We also have our YouTube channel, which is under my name, Susan Puzio. And we have a book out called Feed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? Now, can you bribe God with money? Does God need money? No. But anyway, that's one sign of a false teacher is when they tell you that God needs money. And the subtitle is How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. Anyway, that book is available on Lulu and Amazon, Barnes and Noble. It's on quite a few of the book sites. So I'll be updating that book. But we talk about, in that book, we talk about the different false prophets and false teachers like Mike Murdoch and Benny Hinn and Juanita Bynum and Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, and of course the Crouches when they were alive from TBN. And we talk about Paula White and Oral Roberts, the father, the granddaddy of the Seed Faith Gospel, which it didn't work for Oral. It worked for him for a while. But then in the end, when they lost their university, they were $50 million in debt. So if Seed Faith worked, they would never have any debts, right? Because they were one of the biggest proponents of it. But their university, Oral Roberts University, was sold to someone else. And Richard was run out of town, Richard Roberts. So that was the end of their university that he started. But they still have a website. They still use the Oral Roberts name. So people are still interested in them, which I don't understand. I'm still trying to figure that out, because this is the day that we need to be more alert than ever, because there's so much going on out there. There's so many false prophets and so many false teachers. And we just have to say no. We have to say no. And if your pastor brings in the Seed Faith Gospel and tells you that you have to give God money, otherwise he curses you. And if they have to manipulate you to keep you there, then you need to get out of there and stop supporting these people, because we need real shepherds that really love God's sheep. And they're in the ministry because they want to bless people. They want to get the gospel out. And whether or not they get an offering, so what? You know, if you get one, fine. If you don't get one, you still preach the gospel. So you find ways. If you can't afford to keep up a building or to keep up a television ministry or to even keep up a radio ministry, then get a YouTube channel. I think Blog Talk Radio, they used to have 15-minute time slots that they would give away for free. I'm not sure if they do that anymore, but I know that they did it at one time. So, but you can still get radio time at a very reasonable price for the month. And as long as this avenue is here, we'll use it. But you can always stand on the street corner, or you could go to a nursing home, or there's so many things you could do to preach the gospel if you don't have finances. And if you have to beg people and make a fool out of yourself to have a ministry, then you better quit. You better do something else. You know, because if you can't trust God, if ministers of the gospel can't trust God, then we're in trouble. We don't belong telling you what to do if we can't trust God ourselves. So that's one thing that we have to be so aware of today, because there's such a great deception out there. And I think it all will fall into place as time goes by, when there'll be the total marriage of religion and politics and the Antichrist and the false prophet. And of course, they'll be telling you that they want God, Jesus wants unity, and we all have to be one. And no matter what doctrine people have, that we should just love each other. And you can see now that there is such a great divide in this, in the church, and then in the so-called church, between God's real people. And then there's the phony people that they just manipulate, and they only preach for money. They don't have any other reason really to be in the gospel, to be preaching the gospel, except they use it as a way to achieve fame and fortune. And many of them do, like the man we're going to talk about today, Kenneth Copeland, who's a great deceiver. And I've been knowing about Kenneth Copeland's ministry since about 1982, and I got saved in 1981. And then somebody gave me a book by Gloria Copeland. I think it was God's Will is Prosperity. Was it her? I'm not sure if she wrote that book or if her and Ken wrote it together. Anyway, someone gave me that book, and I was like, wow, you know, this is pretty neat that you tithe and you give and you give things away, and you get more things, you get better things. So, but that's really not what giving is about. We here on this program, we want to have a real reformation and a real revolution of the truth about what giving really is, because the false prophets and the false teachers like to tell you that you give to get, because you have to get something back when you give. You're going to get something back when you give. Of course, that's called selfishness. If you only do things because you want something, that's not even Christian. So that's number one. You don't give to get. You give because you love people, because you truly want to bless people. Otherwise, don't bother giving. If you can't be happy about it, and because God said he loves a cheerful giver, you don't give out of necessity. You don't give because you have to. And if they tell you that you have to give 10%, otherwise you're cursed, otherwise you know God's going to turn his back on you because you're not obedient, well, there's no such thing. You give what you want to give. And if anybody tells you any different, then they don't read the Bible. It's amazing how many people are out there with huge ministries, popular ministries, and they never read the Bible. Otherwise, they read it and they know what it says, but they twist it for their own means so that they could get richer and they could get more famous. And so, but you have to be aware of these things, because it's the main thing is the integrity of a person in the ministry. And we realize, of course, that people are humans and people sin and they make mistakes. Yeah, just because they're a minister of the gospel doesn't mean that they're perfect, because they're not. But one thing is, you're not supposed to handle the word of God deceitfully. That's a big one, because we all have a Bible. We all are supposed to read it. And I'm not supposed to come here on the air or go anywhere else and preach the gospel and tell you what the Bible says. But I'm not going to tell you exactly if it was my motivation just to do it for money. that I wouldn't tell you exactly what it said. I would tell you exactly what I wanted you to know so that I could tell you that if you don't give me 10% of your money, God's going to curse you. And if you don't sow seeds, God won't bless you. And especially you have to give it to me. So if the, it's like, please go away already. I'm, I can't believe these people are still in business in the 2020. It's amazing to me that that these people are still out there and people aren't saying, no, leave me alone, go away. That's not the truth. So we have to stand up for the truth no matter what. And that's very, very important, because here you have this wolf, and I mean a total wolf, Kenneth Copeland. And this guy is supposedly, he's supposed to be a billionaire at this point. So he should just retire and go away. Because I think something's wrong with him. I do. I think that he has some kind of deficiency already. Because I heard him say one of the most ridiculous things that I think I've ever heard him say. I mean, he said some horrible things. And the thing is, when I first started following him in 1982, of course, I was in the Word of Faith movement. I believed these people, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Oral Roberts, I believed what they were teaching. And back in that day, of course, we didn't have the internet. So they could say things and then you wouldn't know, you wouldn't really know what they were saying because you didn't hear all their sermons. Now, thank God for the internet, because you can go and look up a topic. For instance, you could go on YouTube and you could pull up this video. I'm going to play the audio here of one of the most ridiculous statements I think I've heard come out of Kenneth Copeland's mouth. And you know he's a liar when he said this stupid thing that I'm going to share with you in a moment. But you can go, if you want to actually see this ridiculous video, you can go to YouTube and you can put in Paula White at Eagle Mountain Church. And this happened about a year ago that he made this ridiculous statement, because they brought Paula White there, and of course, oh, there was so much fanfare, and people stood up, and when they announced her, they stood up and they were applauding her. And I'm still scratching my head, because I'm saying to myself, now this is a real sign of the end times, because here you have a woman that told people, her and her husband told people from a pulpit on a Sunday morning at her church in August of 2015, and you can see the video yourself. It's on YouTube for some new people that might be tuning in today, or you haven't heard this before. But if you want to go and see for yourself that her and her husband told people to watch porn, there's a video. And you can put in your search engine, Paula White porn, promotes porn, and the video will come up and you will see her husband, Jonathan Cain, tell the women of the church to watch porn with their husbands. And then Paula giggles in the background. Apostle Paula, presidential spiritual advisor, presidential pastor, please, it's like, stop already. I can't believe this whole thing. But I know we're in the end times if something like this can happen, that somebody that tells people to watch porn to enhance their marriages can become a spiritual advisor to a president of the United States. Like, you can't make this stuff up. You can't make it up. I'm still in awe. And then the fact that here's this woman and she goes to Eagle Mountain Church, which is Kenneth Copeland's church, and it's pastored by her. His daughter and son-in-law, and they bring her up there and they're all applauding, and I'm like, don't you people vet people? Don't you know who's coming to stand in your pulpit? I don't care who she is advising, if it's the Sultan of Brunei or the Queen of England, I don't care. don't put a person like this up in a position and say this, and then the dopey pastor there says she's representing us in the White House. No, she's not representing me in the White House. No, don't say that, because she's not representing me. And I'm sure there's many other Christians out there that will say the same thing, that she's not representing us evangelical Christians, because we don't believe her gospel, and we don't believe Kenneth Copeland's gospel either. We don't believe it. So don't put us all in one lump, okay? Because, no, these people do not represent Christianity. They have their own form of Christianity, but it's not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in no way, shape, or form. So you don't do your homework. You don't know. You're supposed to be a shepherd of your church. You're supposed to protect the sheep. Do you protect the sheep? No, you don't protect the sheep. You let any wolf come into your church and say anything to the people in your church, and you never did your homework. You only have to go on the internet for 10 minutes to find out what kind of person Paula White is. You only have to go on the internet for 10 minutes to find out what kind of a false teacher Kenneth Copeland is. So where's your discernment? It's like, where's your discernment, people? Please. Anyway, here I'm going to play this introduction here of Kenneth Copeland introducing Paula White. Now, trust me, before Paula White was the so-called or supposed, please, I'm putting it in quotes, spiritual advisor, oh, please, God help us, to the President of the United States, Kenneth Copeland wasn't paying her much mind. I can guarantee that he never invited her to speak at one of his conventions. I could almost say that 100%. He was not inviting her to preach. This is only after now, because they realize that they have to butter up to her to get to the president. Otherwise, if they're not nice to her, she's not going to invite them to their little gatherings over there. So they won't have access to the president. But I'll tell you something. If you were a real man or woman of God, God would give you access to this man without having to go through Paula. Anyway, here's the introduction when they introduce Paula White at Eagle Mountain Church.
All that you're seeing now are birth pangs to the rebirth of this nation. He said, do you think that George Washington, John Adams, and the all of the framers of the Constitution, do you think they had any idea what this nation was going to look like in 100 years? Of course not. There'd never been a nation like it before in the history of the planet. Well, saith the Lord, that same way, you have no idea what this nation's going to look like when I get done with it, saith the Lord. Oh, my time has come. I've taken over the politics of this nation. It belongs to me, saith God Almighty. Hallelujah. This is the only nation, saith Jesus of Nazareth, that was formed for the specific purpose of worshiping me, because they love me. I created the nation of Israel because I love them. But this nation was created because you love me, and I will never forget it.
Just came back from the White House. There was a dinner there.
Yes.
Be seated. There was a dinner there. And the the position that the president has Paula in is just absolutely astounding.
Yes, it is.
What he has done as the chair of the Evangelical Advisory Council, which you two are part of that, and she's right in the midst of it. She's in the White House.
Yes.
One of ours is in the White House.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Dan, say something about your acquaintance with Paula. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, could we just get Paula up here?
Certainly. Well, come on, Paula.
Paula White King, everybody.
I remember meeting Paula was at Dodie Osteen's birthday party.
That's right, up in New York.
In New York City.
Yes, sir.
And these two beautiful women were sitting right there. One's across the table from me, and Gloria's sitting right there next to me. And I never had any idea. Well, thank you, Lord, yes. It is imperative in all of our lives that we pray, listen, and obey.
Amen.
Yeah, you better. You better. you better be praying. Yeah. Yeah, you better be praying. Please. Yeah, please. Somebody better pray for these people because, please, the most stupid statements come out of these people's mouths like, God says, right, I'm in control of the politics. Look, I have news for you. Kenneth, Paula, Gloria, God's in control of everything. He's always in control of everything. He doesn't need you at the White House. He doesn't need Paula White at the White House. God is in control. Just because now all of a sudden there's these supposed Christians at the White House, so now God has control of the government. He has his own government, and he's in control, so... Anyway, now here comes part two. Now here's one of the most stupid statements I think I've ever heard come out of Kenneth Copeland's mouth. You'll hear it for yourself.
Idea when I'm sitting there that I'm talking to an advisor to the President of the United States.
You thought I was your advisor, didn't you?
Well... Now, I'm being serious, Lori. And I was praying about this and thinking about this this morning early. Starting with your children. I mean, this is just an ornery little jerk raised in West Texas. And, you know, you track through life. Brother Charles Green said, came over there to me this morning, and he said, when you put that little wooden pencil in that envelope at Oral Roberts' meeting, you had no idea 22 countries would be watching you on television.
Right.
We very well could be this morning hosting the first woman president of the United States. That is not out of the question at all. It's a good thing to have a woman president if you get the right one.
That's right.
Amen. It's vital in our time, in these last days, these final days.
Amen.
The key to it all, the integrity of the written word, walking in love, practicing the word of faith every moment of your life, when you sleep and when you're awake. And do what you're told.
Amen.
On the spot.
Amen.
Amen.
How honored we are to have Paula White came with us. Look at your screen. I want to show you a couple of pictures. And here they are at the White House dinner. And there's Paula with the President of the United States. And I think you're praying. You all are praying.
Yes, sir.
In that picture. And then the next picture... There are the two of you there. And he's wearing my tie, actually. And we're so honored to have you.
Thank you so much.
Would you please give a great
MIT
KTN welcome to...
Oh, please. I can't believe it. No, I can't believe it. I'm going to play that for you again, just the first part, in case you missed it. Now, did you actually hear the words come out of Kenneth Copeland's mouth? One of the most stupid statements I think he's ever made in his life, that Paula White could actually be the first woman president of the United States. Stop, please. I can't take anymore. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But here is something we can compare it to. And here's something for us to look out for as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Antichrist comes and the false prophet, and they'll be promoting each other, and they'll be giving themselves flattering titles, and they'll be going into churches, and they'll be preaching their gospel, not the gospel we believe. They'll be preaching a false gospel, and people will stand up and they'll be applauding these people, and there'll be people like us, and we'll be saying, wait a minute, that's the Antichrist. And people will say, we don't care. Look, there was the Queen, there was the Pope, there was the Sultan of Brunei, there was the President of the United States, there was the Prime Minister of England. We don't care. They say they're a Christian. They say they love Jesus. We better care. We better care. Because it's not going to look so pretty for real Christians when we have to stand up for our faith and we're going to be accused of hate crimes and who knows what else could happen. But Christianity throughout the ages has a history of people being persecuted and being persecuted terribly for the sake of the gospel. But Galatians 1:8 says, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are not so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I would not be the servant of Christ. So that's it. You know, whether or not you get an invitation to the White House to try to please Donald Trump, what does it matter if you're not going to please the Lord Jesus Christ? Who matters? Who matters? The Lord Jesus? Or being invited to Eagle Mountain Church? Or being invited to the White House to host a dinner? If you can't, if you're being invited to the White House, you have to be able to tell Donald Trump the truth about the gospel. Otherwise, don't bother going. And you have to tell them, look, I don't endorse these people. I'm sorry, but I don't endorse Paula White. I don't endorse her being your spiritual advisor. I'm sorry, Mr. President, but she's not a member of the body of Christ. She's not saved. First of all, she needs to get born again. And so does Kenneth Copeland, because from the sound of it, he doesn't sound like he's born again either. But let me just play this first part of this clip. In case you missed the part where he says that, he's saying that he was at this birthday party with him and Dodi Osteen and then Paula sitting at the table. And he was probably thinking to himself at the time, oh, you know, there's Paula White, because he wasn't inviting her to his church at that time. And he says, oh, I didn't know that I was actually sitting at a table with the future presidential spiritual advisor. No, you would never imagine it, because you can't make it up.
My idea, when I'm sitting there, that I'm talking to an advisor to the President of the United States.
You thought I was your advisor, didn't you?
Well, being serious, Lori. And I was praying about this and thinking about this this morning early. Starting with your children. I mean, this is just an ornery little jerk raised in West Texas. And you know, you track through life. Brother Charles Green came over there to me this morning, and he said, when you put that little wooden pencil in that envelope at Oral Roberts' meeting, you had no idea 22 countries would be watching you on television.
Right.
You
know? That's right.
We very well could be this morning hosting the first woman president of the United States. That is not out of the question at all.
You see what I mean? Totally ridiculous statement coming out of this man's mouth. And people applauding it. Oh, yeah, give us more. Because they don't know. They didn't take the time to find out who this person is that's standing there. What gospel is this person preaching? Are they preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, or are they a deceiver, a money changer, a false teacher, a false prophet? Who is this person that I'm letting into my house? I don't open the door for anybody just to come into my house. Why would a pastor of a church open his door and let somebody, a wolf, come in? You better get another job, the whole bunch of them over there. Matthew 24:24 says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Mark 13:6 says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Revelation 13:16 says, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that that's why we better be careful what we're doing and who we're applauding for and who we're recognizing as members of the body of Christ. Because as far as I'm concerned, if they don't have integrity in their ministry and if they can lie about Jesus, then we shouldn't have anything to do with these people. I think it's in Titus where the scripture says in the King James Version, because in many of the new versions, you won't even find the word heretic. But it says that a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject. You're to reject that person. And the Bible says that you shouldn't even eat with a person that's a false brother or brother or sister. We have to reject it like it's poison, like it's fire, and just shrug it off. Anyway, I have some other interesting quotes over the years. Kenneth Copeland, for many years, he's been a false prophet and a false teacher, but highly recognized in these so-called evangelical circles. And you'll see many of the people that go to these events at the White House. And now there are some good people that happen to squeeze in there, thank God. And of course, we would love to have some of these really good, honest believers that really love God to be advising a president of the United States, not a Jezebel. I mean, you know what happened to Ahab. So, no, you shouldn't be having somebody like a Jezebel advising politicians. It's not a good match. But over the years, Kenneth Copeland's made some very ridiculous statements. And one of the statements that he made, and it's so awful the way he talks about Jesus, and he's so disrespectful. Here is one of the statements that Kenneth Copeland made.
In the Bible, actually is. Okay. You know, everybody asks, you say, who's the biggest failure? They say, Jesus. Somebody else will say, no, I believe it's Adam. Well, how about the devil? He's the most consistent failure.
Okay.
But he's not the biggest in terms of material failure and so forth. The biggest one in the old Bible is God. What? Don't you turn that set off. You listen to it. I told you, now you sit still a minute. You know me well enough. No, I wouldn't tell something that I can't prove in the Bible.
He lost his top-ranking, most anointed angel, the first man he ever created, first woman he ever created, the whole earth and all the fullness therein, a third of the angels at least. That's a big loss, man. I mean, you figure all that. That's a lot of real estate, brother. Gone down the drain. Now, the reason you don't think of God as a failure is he ain't never said he's a failure. No. And you're not a failure till you say you won.
Oh, my word. Who's the biggest failure? Jesus, he says, is the biggest failure. Oh, I'm telling you, this guy. What a weirdo. Now, one of the, another horrible event that took place at one of Kenneth Copeland's believers' conventions, or maybe I should say unbelievers' convention, that he hosted. And he had a man there. This happened a couple of years ago. This is another thing that the Bible warns us about. And they talk a lot about unity now. They talk a lot about unity and that we're supposed to all come together. And it doesn't matter what people believe. As long as they talk about Jesus, they're our brother and our sister. Yeah, well, they can talk about Jesus all day, but what Jesus are they talking about? Are they talking about the Jesus that's in the Bible? Or are they talking about the Jesus that they make up? Because they sure can make up some things about Jesus, like that statement that Jesus was a failure. And so he brings this guy, Tony Palmer, into his so-called Christian meeting. And this guy is a Catholic. He was killed in a motorcycle accident shortly after this happened. But he had worked for Kenneth Copeland for about 20 years. I think he was over his offices in South Africa. And Kenneth Copeland must have known about his spiritual views. He supports the Catholic Church, and he was trying to be an instrument of unity to bring the Catholic Church back together with the separated brethren. Now, I was raised Catholic, so I was in a Catholic school for 7 years. I know probably a lot more than most people. If you haven't been raised in it, you might not really know what it is. So they pretend that they're Christians, but they never told us we had to be born again. Never. We never read the Bible. Never. We never opened the Bible when I was in school. We had a catechism, which is the Catholic book that instructs you about the Catholic faith. But no, we were told we couldn't read the Bible, and we were especially told we should never read a King James Bible, and we were told that we should never especially read any books about Martin Luther. So we were never told we had to be born again. We were told that when we were baptized, we became Christians and our sins, we were free from original sin. And then when we were seven, which they considered was your age of reason, then we were told that we could have a confirmation and we can confirm our faith for ourselves. But of course, they never asked us, you're seven, so what do you know when you're seven? You don't know too much when you're seven. And they never ask you really whether or not you really want to be a Catholic or if you want to confirm your faith. They just tell you you're going to do it. And so what are you going to do? You're going to school there, and you have all your peers there, and you're seven, and so you do it. You go to this confirmation ceremony, and you say, yes, I confirm that I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, blah, blah. But you don't really know what you're doing. You're not told that you have to make a decision for yourself to accept Christ. And so, anyway, you do these things, and then you're indoctrinated into the catechism. So Catholics believe, and you can go to their website, Catholic Doctrine, whatever, if you don't believe me, to get the proof from their own literature. It's also in their Vatican II papers, but they believe that there is no salvation outside of the Catholic Church. If you don't belong to the Catholic Church, then you're not saved. And so they call us, they like to say that we're Protestants, which I don't like that word either, because I am protesting false teachers, and I do protest heresy and that kind of thing, but I wasn't protesting like Luther over the faults of the Catholic Church as far as they want you to believe history, their writing of history, how they interpret history. But here's some history, Acts 11:26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So we were called Christians first in Antioch. And so that's what we are. We are Christians. We're not Protestants. We are the real thing. Okay. So anyway, during this time when Martin Luther was protesting, he was a Catholic monk. he started reading the Bible somehow, some way. He actually started reading it. And of course, once you start reading it, it does something to you because the Bible says the word of God goes into you and it changes you. And it's sharper than a two-edged sword. So when people start reading the Bible for themselves, they start finding out things. And he was finding out that, wow, you're justified by faith alone. You don't have to join the Catholic Church. You don't have to pay money for indulgences. And that was the big deal, of course, with Luther. And he was a Catholic monk. He broke away and he hung this 95 thesis on the church door. And those were the 95 things that he was protesting. But he was trying to reform at the time. He was trying to reform the Catholic Church, but they weren't going to have any of it. It's just like what we're trying to do now. We're trying to reform the false church. We're trying to reform and tell and basically do the same thing, which is stop the miracle selling. You don't have to buy miracles. You don't have to pay God off to get him to do things for you. It was basically the same thing that Luther was doing. But remember, there were still Christians at that time. God always had a church. So the Catholic Church doesn't like to tell you that. They like to rewrite history and make it look like, oh, Luther broke away from the one true church, and then they were called Protestants because they were protesting. And of course, Luther was protesting the selling of indulgences, which Catholics believe that you can go to heaven, hell, or purgatory. And purgatory is in between place that you go to, because you might still have sin in your life that you didn't get to the priest before you died, or you didn't get the last rites. That's one thing. You were scared to death when you were Catholic that you were going to die and you didn't get the last rites, or you didn't get to the priest to go to confession, because they told you, God, you can't go to God to get forgiveness of your sins. You had to go through the priest. So purgatory was a place you went to go after you died to get cleansed, and then your relatives could go to the church and they could pay $10 or $20. You could still do it today. Call any Catholic church and ask if you could have a mass said to get a soul out of purgatory. And they'll tell you, yeah, it's $20 or whatever. So there was big money. There was big money in that. And there's still big money in it. And there's still big money in the so-called charismatic Pentecostal circles with the miracle selling. There's big money in it. They don't like people like myself and other people that are trying to tell people you can get things from God for free. You just have to ask him. He's God. He's God Almighty. He doesn't have a slot machine up there. He doesn't have a bingo parlor up there. He doesn't have a lottery up there. First of all, he doesn't have any money up there, so he's not going to open up the windows of heaven and pour money out of heaven. He's just not going to do it because he doesn't have any there. So, but they don't really want you to know that. Of course, you should know that because it's in the Bible and you should read your Bible. So then when these wolves come around, you can just tell them, look, that's not in the Bible. So hit the road, Jack. So anyway, it's still going on today, basically what Luther was trying to change. But he then started the Lutheran Church. But like I said, there was Christians before Luther broke away from the Catholic Church. And then there was the body of Christ. He started his own thing by becoming a Lutheran and starting the Lutheran movement. But it wasn't like everybody was a Catholic and then they broke away and then we were called Protestants. No, I'm a Christian. You're not. You're not a Christian. When you tell people that there's no salvation except if you join my church, that's not Christian. Jesus didn't come to earth to die for us on the cross so we could join some church to get salvation. No, salvation comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't get salvation any other way. You don't get salvation because you join a church or you pay a tithe. You get salvation by repenting of your sins and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the way you get it. So no, that's not a Christian church. But anyway, Kenneth Copeland invites this guy to come there, this Tony Palmer. And he comes and he's saying that the protest is over because the Catholic Church signed some kind of an agreement with the Lutheran Church. And so now Luther's protest is over because the whole protest was about grace and works. Well, that's not what the whole protest was over. So he doesn't even get his history straight, but he's counting on the fact that you don't know your history. So he's going to tell you what it is. And you're supposed to believe it. So, Lord help us, right? God help us. Anyway, here's part one.
The protest is over.
Amen.
This was brought about by Spirit-filled Pope and Spirit-filled Lutherans that got together in the Holy Ghost. Now, take a good look at that picture. The night before, we had a dinner together before we met with Pope Francis the next day. That many evangelicals in one room, folks, you don't get it.
No, I don't get it. No, I don't get evangelicals so-called going to Rome and meeting with the Pope. Now, that I don't get. No. What did you do when you went to see the Pope? Okay, if you're going to see the Pope, are you going to lead him to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he doesn't know God either. He doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, they talk about him, but do they really know him? No. No, he doesn't know him. So there they are. They went to Rome. Copeland goes to Rome along with James Robison and John Arnott from that so-called revival that he was having. And I can't remember who else was there, but anyway, they went there and the Pope thought to himself, I have some dummies here that I can deceive and we'll try to do this and we'll try to get unity here and we'll try to get these separated brethren back into the fold. So here we go. Here's another part.
Now, I knew this along, but and I heard it from the Lord. But then I also know it now because of what I know. You're going to talk about tonight for long. Brother Tony, come on up, would you please? And Tony Palmer, some of you may know Tony. Tony and he's back, but he's going to come give his testimony, and he's got a special message for us tonight. So would you welcome Tony Palmer to this platform. Bishop, thank you, sir.
Bless you.
Yes, sir. Amen.
The opportunity to spend a couple of moments introducing to you something really, really special and historic. Now, why is it historic? Because in 1999, the Roman Catholic Church and the Protestant Lutheran Church signed an agreement that brought an end to the protest. But that's not it. The Catholic Church believed that we were by works. And that was the protest. In 1999, we were together. Because in the Protestant Church, we had a lot of cheap salvations. People were getting born again, but no fruit whatsoever. So what these two churches did, they put the two definitions together. Listen to it. I'm reading verbatim from the Catholic Vatican website. Justification means that Christ himself is our righteousness, in which we share through the Holy Spirit in accord with the will of the Father. together we Catholics and Protestants, Lutherans, believe and confess that by grace alone, in faith in Christ's saving works, and not because of any merit on our part, we are accepted by God and receive the Holy Spirit, who renews our hearts while equipping and calling us to good works. This brought an end to the protest of Luther. And I'd like to pray this prayer. And if you agree, you can say amen.
That agreement between the Catholics and the Lutherans, that brought an end to the protest of Luther. And anyway, he's such a deceiver, or he was such a deceiver, this man, Tony Palmer, because he doesn't tell you. Oh, even Kenneth Copeland in the audio before tells you that this meeting came about when they went to the Vatican. It came about from a spirit-filled pope. What are you talking about? And spirit-filled Lutherans. Yeah, well, I didn't hear anything in there about being born again, okay? And Catholics, this is what I was taught when I went to Catholic school. I was taught that I was born again, which I had no idea what it was at all. Nobody ever told me. The only thing they told me is that I was born again when I was baptized, because they interpret John 3 as you're born of your mother, then you're born of water. Well, they say that's baptism, which that's not true. So the way that Catholics believe you're born again is that you're born again because you get baptized when you're a baby. And you can't even, what do you know when you're a baby? You know nothing. Could I make a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ when I'm a baby? No. Your parents stand in for you, and then you have a godmother and a godfather standing in and making the profession for you. Well, you can't do that. Everybody has to come to God on their own. You have to make your own decision. You have to repent. It's not, my mother and father couldn't repent for me. My godmother and godfather couldn't repent for me. I had to do it myself. So they say nothing about being born again or how you can be born again. They tell you, you have to join our church in order to get salvation. And then after you join our church, then you have to work. You have to make works. You have to do this and you have to do that. And you have to take a communion. And they believe that communion is really Jesus lives in a wafer. They actually believe that. They believe that the priest has the power to stand at an altar on a Sunday morning, and they put a chalice, a golden chalice, which is usually encrusted with precious jewels, and they put a wafer in there, and they put some wine in there, and the priest bows, and he puts incense over it, and he prays, and they tell you now he has changed that bread and wine into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And they believe that that's how they receive Jesus. And they, when the priest comes with the bread and wine, then you're receiving Jesus. So, I mean, talk about a deception. And many millions, hundreds of millions of people believe that. So we've got our work cut out for us, church. We're only a small remnant of people that are crying aloud and spare not, because there's much more of them than there are of us. Much more of them. And then you have people like Kenneth Copeland bringing somebody in. And then here in this next audio, you'll hear he actually introduces the Pope at this convention that he had there in Texas. I think it was in Texas that he had this convention. And the Pope appears on the screen with a message for the people. So here it is. Some of it is in broken English, and then there's a little bit in Italian.
dear brothers and sisters, excuse me because I speak in Italian, but I am not speaking English, but I give you un saluto gioioso e nostalgico, gioioso perché a metà gioia che voi siete riuniti per lodare Gesù Cristo, l'unico Signore, e pregare al Padre e ricevere lo Spirito. E questo dà gioia perché si vede che il Signore lavora in tutto il mondo insieme, come ha fatto Giuseppe, quel pianto che unisce, il pianto dell'amore.
Glory, glory, glory. Tony, thank you, sir. Come on, the man asked us to pray for him. Oh, Father. Father, we answer his request. And since we know not how to pray for him as we ought, other than to agree with him in his quest and in his heart for the unity of the body of Christ. We come together in the unity of our faith. Hallelujah. Come up here and let's do it this way so he can see this whole congregation.
So I've got to go to the Vatican again.
Yes. My dear sir, my dear sir, thank you so from the bottom of our hearts. All of these leaders represent literally tens of thousands of people that love you, that believe God with you, and in answer to your request, we have just prayed for you and with you, and we did so in the Spirit. And we believe we receive, according to the words of Jesus in Mark 11:24, whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Our desire, sir, along with you, is in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Thank you, sir. We do bless you. We receive your blessing. It's very, very important to us. And we bless you with all of our hearts. We bless you with all of our souls. We bless you with all of our might. And we thank you, sir. We thank God for you. And so, all of us declare together, be blessed. Once again, all together. Be blessed. God's will be done. Amen. Tony, thank you, sir. My, how you've blessed this place tonight.
I love you. I love you.
Give him love, baby.
Thank you.
Amen. Woo! I told you you'd never forget it.
No, I'll never forget it, that's for sure. No, that I will never forget. Never. Never. It's so frightening. I can't forget it, that people that are supposed to have, people, intelligent people that are supposed to have their minds, they're supposed to know the Bible. And you're not supposed to be applauding a false prophet. No, you're not supposed to be applauding a false prophet and saying, oh, isn't that wonderful? And we're all supposed to unite. No, we unite when we agree in what the gospel is and who Jesus really is, why Jesus came. Yes, we unite over the gospel, but we don't unite with false prophets. We don't unite with false Christs. No, we don't unite with those kind of people. No, we're supposed to run for our lives from false prophets and false teachers and wolves. When a wolf is coming at you, you run. You don't say, hey, come on over here, let me give you a hug. Even at one part in the Pope, in his message, he's telling them that we should all give each other a hug. Yeah, I'm not hugging you, no, because wolves bite, and I don't want to get bitten by a wolf. No, thank you. Another one of Copeland's terrible, horrible statements that he made in the past was that Jesus, when he died, he had to go to hell because it wasn't enough for him to die on the cross. He says anybody could have died on a cross. Anybody could have died, any of the prophets, any human could have died on the cross, but Jesus had to go to hell and he had to be born again. He says Jesus had to be born again. Jesus, yeah, Jesus had to be born again. Yeah, Jesus. So if you can believe it. But of course, like I said, years ago when we used to listen to Kenneth Copeland, and of course I got out of Word of Faith movement in 1997, so I've been out of it for a long time, but we didn't hear these things. We didn't know. We knew some of the things that he taught, especially about prosperity. And he talked about being born again and repenting of your sins. I never knew he talked like this because I never heard this. Thank God for the internet, because now you can look up people and you can find out what they believe. You can find out what kind of fruit is in their life. And Jesus said, by their fruit, you will know them. You'll know who your brothers and sisters are in Christ. So anyway, here is these statements. And these are horrible statements about Jesus coming from Kenneth Copeland.
Man in the Godhead. Born again. He got born again in the pit of hell. He was made to be sin for us who knew. He knew no sin. But Jesus got in there.
He got in there. He was made sin with your sin. He was cursed with your curse. He suffered the price for Adam's failure to walk in the blessing. And now he is in the pit of hell. And now he is suffering the suffering.
Oh, I'm telling you, Jesus is in the middle of that pit. He's suffering the very base end punishment. He is suffering all that there is to suffer. There is no suffering left apart from him. His emaciated, poured out little wormy spirit is down in the bottom of that thing, and the devil thinks he's got him destroyed. But all of a sudden, God started talking. And when God starts talking, can't nobody get away from it. I mean, hell itself ain't far enough. It ain't deep enough, and it ain't wide enough to keep the word of God from coming in there.
Jesus had to go through that same spiritual death in order to pay the price. Now, it wasn't the physical death on the cross that paid the price for sin, because if it had been, any prophet of God that had died for the last couple of thousand years before that could have paid that price. It wasn't physical death. Anybody could do that.
He was the first one to ever be born again. I see it. A born again man defeated all of hell. Oh my God, I'm no less born again than he was. Whoa, I'm born after him. So he stepped below him and made himself obedient unto death. We talked about that
in our service. He went into hell. There he paid the price. God spoke the word of resurrection, and he came up out of there. His spirit was reborn, and a reborn man ripped hell apart, took the keys of death, took the keys of hell, and came out of there and said, I am he that was once dead, but I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys.
The Spirit of God spoke to me, and he said, son, realize this. Now follow me in this. Don't let your tradition trip you up. He said, think this way. A Christ-born man whipped Satan in his own domain. And I threw my Bible like that. I said, what? He said a born-again man defeated Satan. The firstborn of many brethren defeated him. He said, you are the very image and the very copy of that one. I said, goodness gracious sakes alive. And I began to see what had gone on in there. And I said, well, now you don't mean, you couldn't dare mean that I could have done the same thing. He said, oh yeah, if you'd known that, had the knowledge of the word of God that he did, you could have done the same thing. Because you're a reborn man too.
Jesus volunteered to go to hell. I'm going to tell you something. Ain't nobody ever got out of there. The only thing he had to go by was the promise of God that I'm reading you right now. He didn't have some special revelation from heaven between he and God the Father. No, the Bible said he emptied himself when he came. And he saw himself in the Word and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He found himself in the Word.
He found himself in the Word. Cass, Jesus is the Word. Oh, please. I stopped. How could you stand it? I can't take any more of that. It's so stupid. Oh, what an ignorant man. And he says, oh, the Lord. And he's telling you that the Lord is telling him this. The Lord Jesus is telling him that. It could have been him if he would have had the knowledge of the Word the way Jesus did. I have news for you. He was the Word. He was the walking Word. Jesus never laid down his divinity. Never. Never. He didn't lay down his divinity just to become just a normal man that had to die and he had to be born again in hell. Oh, please. Oh, God help us. How did this man ever get so rich and famous and have so many people following him? And he's a false prophet, a false teacher, a wolf. Philippians 2:8 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Now, I know there's one translation that doesn't say in that verse, Philippians 2:8, that they say that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but they say something else, like Jesus was not equal with God. That's how one of the Bible translations changes it. So you need to be careful what you're reading. But anyway, it says that he was found in fashion as a man. He dressed like a man. He looked like a man. He wasn't a normal man. He never laid down his divinity. He was always Jesus Christ, Son of God, Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So his ridiculous statement about Jesus having to go to hell and he had to be born again. Oh, honestly. You can't make it up. I don't know what Bible these people read and where they come up with this stuff. But we better know the word of God, because it's so easy to be deceived. It's easy to be deceived by these people. And if you don't read God's word for yourself, you won't know these things. You'll just believe anything they tell you. Oh, well, wow, Jesus was born again. And he's even putting himself on the same level as Jesus by saying, yeah, I'm a born-again man too. Well, Jesus was not a born-again man. He had to shed his blood. And he was insinuating that any man could have done it, what Jesus did. It wasn't just the fact that he died on the cross and he shed his blood. No, he had to go to hell to finish it. And then he had to be born again to finish it. Well, that's ridiculous. And there's absolutely no scriptural evidence for any of that stupidity that this man teaches. So run for your life from Kenneth Copeland. Run for your life from him. And if you followed his teachings, ask God to forgive you. Try to get that stuff out of your head, because it's another gospel. It's another Jesus. And you can see the handwriting's on the wall. You can see the unity is coming between the false prophets and the false teachers and the one world church. That's what's going to happen. There'll be one church, one world church. And if you don't join their church, who knows what'll happen? I don't even like to think about it, because when you go to Europe and you drive through the countryside in some of these, take for instance Germany, you can drive through the countryside in Germany and you'll see these big, huge churches in these small villages. Because, and why are there those big churches in these small villages? Because you had to go to that church at one time. It was the Catholic Church, and you had to go there. And if you didn't go there, it could cost you your life. The Catholic Church had something called the Inquisition. And what they used to do to people is they'd burn people at the stake, like William Tyndale. What was his big crime? He translated the Bible into the English language so people could read it. What did the Catholic Church do to him? They burned him at the stake. They didn't want people to have Bibles. It was dangerous to them. It's still dangerous for people to read their Bible, because if you read your Bible and you know what it says, you won't be deceived by the false prophets. You might be deceived for a short time, but you have to check everything out with the word of God, no matter who's telling you what it says. You read it for yourself and you find out what the truth is. But it was a dangerous at one time to be a Christian, when it could cost you your life. Imagine people being burned at the stake alive just because they professed faith in Jesus Christ and they wouldn't join that church. They wouldn't join that false church. So we're not joining up with any false churches. No, we're not doing it. We're going to stand for the truth of the gospel as long as we can. As long as we have an outlet, well, if they take the internet away or they take our computers away or whatever, we still have a mouth. We can still preach the gospel to people that we meet anywhere, that when we're out and about. So God's always had a people, and he always had a way to get the gospel out. And we want to remain faithful to the call of God, and to warn people about what's going on out there so that we're not deceived. We have to try to stay strong in these last days that we're in, as we're seeing so much debauchery in going on all around us. And God needs his church. He said he was going to use the foolishness of preaching, and he uses us as flawed as we are. It's amazing, really, isn't it, that the Lord lets us preach his gospel and he trusts us. Oh, you know, but he does. And we're very grateful to God for his word, for his people, because God does have some wonderful people. Despite the fact that there's so many more of the false prophets and the false teachers out there, God does have a wonderful people, and people that really do love him and they serve him no matter what. So we're grateful for that. And I want to thank everybody that tunes in, all our listeners in the United Kingdom. Hello, everybody. And Canada, South Africa, Germany and France and Australia, Singapore, all the different countries where we have listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in, and tell your friends about the program and the Rapture Ready Radio Network. Also, there's different hosts on every night there. So there's some good Bible teaching out there, and we need each other in these last days. So pray for each other. I pray that God blesses you in this new year, and for you to have peace and joy, no matter what you're going through, because we all go through things in this life. Jesus, that was one of the promises too, is that we would have tribulation. Nobody likes it. Nobody likes it, but yet we have to go through things in life. So we have to pray and hang on to our faith in the Lord to get us through the hard times. But the most important thing is, do you know Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior? Have you asked him to come into your life and to change your life? No matter what Kenneth Copeland does or Paula White or anybody else, there's only one person that ever walked the earth that was sinless, and he loves you. He loved you enough to die for you and give you a way out of hell. And hell is a real place. And the worst part of hell is going to be that you'll know that there is a God and you're separated from him. No matter what you've done in your life, you can be forgiven of it. And God said that he would wash you as white as snow, though your sins be as scarlet. So only God could do that. And Jesus said himself that ye must be born again. First you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. And Jesus really can change your life. He really can. You'll see. You'll be amazed at the change. And it wasn't anything that you did, except that you repented and you asked for the help. You will see a miraculous change. And it is a miracle. So we thank God for his many blessings. God bless you all. And I will see you next week.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. Someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Someday I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there.